cover a lot of Florida history in your school years. Maybe we can fill in a few blanks for you tonight. Let me just buy another nickel. So let's get things going, huh? We're going to celebrate Viva Florida. We're going to talk about Florida. If you're a Floridian, talk about it. You know, we want to hear why you like Florida. Why are you there? And we're going to talk about some of the history and some of the celebrations of that, too. We'll get things going right now with folks saying hello as we take some check-ins. We'll go for a round right now. I'm KC2RML. This is the Global Family Hour. And this is South Cars, looking for check-ins right now.
Quebec Yankee.
X-ray, Charlie X-ray.
Well, we got a couple to get us going, and that's a good start. So let's get going with Jim. Quebec Yankee, come on aboard there, sir.
All right. Good evening to you and to all the others that are listening. I'm assuming there's more besides just three. four. Since we have Miss Rebecca with us. Let's see, I'm Echo 1880. I'm not sure. I guess he will. And I hope she's got our recorder going. It's supposed to be going. So this net is being recorded. And all that sort of stuff. And I will be your offset. Or your backup, I guess is what they call it. Backup net controller. So don't have no trouble, because if you have trouble, I have to take it up. And I'll tell you, I don't know much about Ponce de Leon. I just said that time. I don't know too much about Miss Ponce de Leon. But I do know that's how you pronounce it. It's Ponce de Leon. And all that sort of stuff. And that's a French word. Don't ask me the name of it, what it stands for. I don't know. Maybe one of them French words that you get every now and then say, oh, I think I'm going to throw up or something like that. But anyway, whatever his name was, he was supposed to be locating the Fountain of Youth. That was the idea of him going to Florida in the first place. So we do know what he went down there for. Now, where he got, whether he found any of it, it's something something that somebody else will have to tackle. I just know what he went for. Back to you. Another subject. Let me break here. I meant to get back in touch with you, and I hadn't, but I didn't do no good for you, old buddy, on that cam. It wouldn't work. I've been working with it off and on all week, including buying a new battery for it. It still won't work. So I don't know what went wrong with it. I guess it just set up and died. That's all I know. But anyway, it is not working. So I guess we scratched that one. I'm sorry about that. Over.
Hey, Jim, no problem at all. And first of all, thank you for being there tonight. It's great to have you along as a backup. Second of all, you gave it the old college try, and that's great. Just knowing that You know, making the offer was great, and I really appreciate it. And thanks for taking the time to go through that and trying to get that kid to work too. So that's super too. But thanks again for being there, and thanks for checking in. And did you know that as a boy, Mrs. De Leon would iron him because she didn't want to have wrinkled pants. So, having said that, it's going to be Ponce de Leon jokes all night long. I can't stay away from them. Having said that, let us move along to Woody, XCX. Come on aboard there, sir.
Well, we studied him in school. Hi, Gary, by the way. It's been a while since I've talked to you. He said that he wasn't sure what that word meant, so... But I think it means hot as hell down here. It was probably if it came in the summertime. But anyway, now, we studied him, even though I went to school in Texas, we studied him in Baron de Vastroff. We call him Baron the Bathtub, but anyway. All those explorers that came down and explored Florida and all about the time the Spaniards came around, and I can't believe that's, you know, a French word since he's Spanish, but you never know, you know. Maybe there's a Frenchman back there somewhere. Well, anyway, good evening to everybody on the net. I saw, with ZIV in your also, so you might want to give Dwayne a shout and see if he wants to check in, too. We'll talk to you later on, Gary. N5XCX, so back to you, sir.
Hey, thank you, Woody, and I certainly hope I don't get too big for my ponds tonight. Anyway, now, great to hear from you. And, yeah, they talk, again, you know, I'm from New York. We learned about Ponce de Leon, and we learned about that fountain of youth, too, and... we'll be talking a little bit more about that as the net goes on. You did mention ZIV is out there. Let's see if we can get him to check in. Maybe we missed him on the way or he doubled up. So let's give him a chance. Dwayne, are you there? ZIV, come on in.
Yeah, good day. Now, I didn't think I'd get listening. I don't know too much about Uncle Ponce. Yeah. He took out to Florida, and last I knew, he wanted to be young, like me, young and beautiful like me, but so he took out to Florida, you reckon just can't stay 21 like me, and then Jody.
I think we might have lost you, but let's try it again. ZIV, if you're there, try it one more time.
Yeah, you didn't hear me. How's sound over?
Okay, you're just fine now. It just sounded like you ended abruptly. So if you have any more, please proceed.
No, I just, I don't know about the youth and all. I like Florida, though. Yeah, I'm sure it's there right now, actually. Good man, JV. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just sitting here in the shack, listening. My new gym is going to be out tonight. What is it, KB4QX, QI? So I thought I'd listen in tonight. Number is 6508. South Carolina number 6508. November 9th, Zuko in the Victor, Danville, Illinois. 130 miles south of Chicago. 209 kilometers south of Chicago. And then just a beam. Back from that.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. And, yeah, that fountain of youth, I could use a drink. Wouldn't be a bad idea. Good to have you along tonight. You know, we're talking about Viva Florida, and that is the name given for the 500th anniversary of the discovery of Florida. And We're actually into year 501 right now. The official kickoff for that year 500 was in 2013, but the celebration continues right through 2014. A lot of stuff going on. We'll talk about some of the events in a little bit, but a little bit of history here. Let's go back to 1513 when Ponce de Leon was seeking, as Jim said, Jim had that right. He was seeking the mythical fountain of youth. He, in the process, discovered and named Florida, claiming it for Spain, after his ships landed on Florida's east coast near present-day St. Augustine. Now, later, Florida would be held at different times by Spain and England until Spain finally sold it to the United States in 1819. He named it La Florida, or Place of Flowers. Now, when Ponce de Leon searched for riches in Florida, he unknowingly helped turn the Sunshine State into the first travel destination in the United States. Florida's history in the early 19th century was marked by wars with the Seminole Indians, which didn't end until 1842. Florida's economy rests on a solid base of tourism, manufacturing, and agriculture. Leading the manufacturing sector are electrical equipment and electronics, printing and publishing, transportation equipment, food processing and machinery, oranges, grapefruits, and other citrus fruits, of course, lead Florida's agricultural products, followed by potatoes, melons, strawberry, sugarcane, peanuts, dairy products, and cattle. So obviously a lot of variety in what Florida produces, that's for sure. Let me buy a nickel. It's an incredible state. 5 centuries later, the state is celebrating its Spanish heritage with a series of events going right through this year. Although Florida's history dates back to more than 12,000 years with Native Americans, the statewide campaign Viva Florida highlights the start of a new era with De Leon's adventures into the new world. So that's the overview of Viva Florida, the official celebration. Again, if you're a Floridian, we'd like to hear from you. Have you participated in any of the celebrations either last year or what's going on this year? What do you think about Florida overall? Are you brand new to Florida? One thing I've noticed, Steph and I have become fairly frequent visitors to Florida. You know, we love that state. We love coming down, and it seems to us that that a lot of Floridians are not native Floridians, and it was an observation that that I kind of made a while ago. So if you're a Floridian, we'd like to hear from you, and let us know, are you a native Floridian, or what prompted you to come to Florida? We'll take another round of check-ins. This is the Global Family Hour. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
Six Victor,
good evening, sir. Do we have anybody else this time around? Well, I guess not. So I guess, sir, the turn is yours. And hello once again. How are you?
Doing okay, I think, Gary. Thank you, sir. Good evening. Good evening to the group. We just got home. Gordon, KY6V. We've been out partying with Jack and his wife and Mike and his father from Michigan. That's ZGL, who's the owner and ramrod of the SCAR server that we're using, who's down in Florida staying in Melbourne right now, a family wedding, and was able to break away and break bread with us. So we just had a joyous time. Just got back a few minutes after 7, I guess, when we pulled into the driveway, Gary. And it was probably about 4 or 5 minutes after the hour you had gone through the preamble and started into the early stages of the program for this evening, and I got the recordings going, so we've got enough to make a play if we have any trouble with the other recordings that were to be made. To answer your question, I feel like a Floridian. I've been here long enough, about 44 years. Born in the Hawaiian Islands, so I'm a Hawaiian dude, raised in California, so I'm a Californian, and I frankly feel that after 44 years, they better tattoo Florida on me also. If you want to, let me buy a nickel. If you want to see the flavor of Viva Florida, look at our website. We got some very pretty ladies running around in bikinis with great big sombreros to speak for the occasion. KY6V, back to you, Gary.
Well, that's incentive enough to get anybody to the website. Yeah, I think Jim may have started the recording as well too. So I think we have a couple of recordings going there. I'm unable to do that with the software I'm using. That's the one drawback to this port of the software. It's not great. But yeah, you I think after 44 years get to call yourself a Floridian. You know, I think you can take claim to any one of those three states. But 44 years, I think you qualify. I think you're okay with that. You know, but it's interesting. I don't know a lot of native Floridians, and it seems that that folks come there as a I don't want to say a final destination. It doesn't sound right, you know. but folks come there. You know, you live your life doing something, you know, and it's like time to start again. And you say, where do I want to start again? And you want to start someplace, you know, the weather's good. You have maybe you love the water, you know, and you want to be close to the ocean, and you kind of want to live life on your terms. And Florida offers that to many, many people, and it's easy to understand why people are so attracted to that state. You know, it really is quite remarkable. Let me just buy a nickel. It's a great place to end up. I guess that's maybe the best way to put it. And I think a lot of people desire getting there all their lives, and you know, when they have the chance, they end up there. And it's a lot to be said for Florida because it is so successful in that regard. We're talking about Viva Florida. We're talking about the celebration of now year 501 of Florida's history. And interesting history, to say the least. And we'll be talking about here and there Ponce de Leon and a couple of bad Ponce de Leon jokes I'm sure we'll throw in there. And, you know, we're talking about native Floridians. One of the things that makes Florida very special are the folks they call the Conks, and these are the people of the Keys. These are the folks that are very unique and very special, and it is a pleasure and a treasure to talk to folks that can call that their heritage. One of the things that strikes me most about them is the level of old-fashioned civility. People could fight about politics or business or anything else, but everybody can sit down and eat and drink as friends. None of the business of life has any place around the table or a backyard or the front porch. Now, in the early 1800s, the market for pineapples shifted due to the changing demands of marketplaces in Europe, and the driving force of the Abaconian economy disappeared, but the word went out about a little island to the west. It was being settled by kindred souls called Key West. As the Abaconians sailed there, they discovered a lot of ships wrecked along the reef tracks of the Florida Keys with rich cargoes for the taking, and the fact is that fish and turtles practically jumped into the boats. Land was cheap and available, and many people immigrated to the new town of Key West, and that is the foundation of the folks that we call the Conks. Great bunch of folks, and our very good friend George is of that heritage, and we love to hear from him. So maybe he'll join us. I see he's out there. So with any luck at all, maybe we can hear from him. I see he was watching the Gators today. So let's see if George can give us a Gator report, too. So what do you say? Let's take a round of check-ins as we continue with the Global Family Hour. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars looking for check-ins right now.
Howdy. Been there, done that. KW4, my Charlie Bravo.
Hey, there's George. And let's see if we get anybody else to come along, too. So anybody else out there, come on aboard right now.
T-H-O.
All right, got a couple that time around. And George, hello there. And good to hear from you. I guess you were doing some Gator watching today. better to watch than to fight, I think. So you're better off there. We were just talking about the Conks, and you know a thing or two about that. And as we continue our net tonight on Viva Florida, we'd love to hear your take on the whole thing. So Lima Charlie Bravo, come on aboard.
Well, good evening, Gary. Good evening, South Course. Yeah, I was in there watching the Gators and UConn basketball game at Final Four. And hope they survive it and bump heads with Kentucky. But, well, what can I say? We go back five generations, more or less castaways from Cuba and the Bahamas, and most of the Conks, their heritage has come from Cuba and the Bahamas, and what can I say? I think more Conks live out of Key West now than in Key West. So once upon a time, it was a beautiful island. And, well, it still is to those who come down that doesn't know any better. Loaded down with tropical fruit. And let me put in there, you know, there was quite a bit of Indian population strung out through the Keys, the Calusa Indians, and, you know, we've got to give them their due. What can I say? You know, I'm proud to be a Conk. You know, most Conks, like you said, they'll give you anything they have there. Sure won't let you go without a meal there, and do everything they can to help you there. And what can I say? You know, that's how we are. And I'm too old to change there, but I might jump back in there and add a little bit more. If you want to Google Key West and how it got started, I sent a few articles out, the Conk Republic and how all that came about there. And let me pause for the calls. What can I say? The fish, the Keys, supports over 500 varieties of fish. So big fishing industry, spiny lobster, sponges, you know, between Key West and Tarpon Springs in the Tampa area, was all sponge fishermen. And just a tidbit of some of the roads we traveled. KW4, Charlie Bravo, back to net control.
Hey, George, that's, I'll tell you something. You have a wonderful heritage, and I greatly admire the culture that that you come from. I think that's a great way of life, and I think a lot of people could take a very good lesson from that, and I think the world would be a better place if we were all Conks. I really do believe that. The Gators, I wish them well. When you come from Syracuse, you don't see too many Final Fours because you can't spell sucks without S-U. So how can you be number one in the country forever and then throw it away? I don't know. But, okay, enough of that. I'm not going to go there. But thanks, George. And you know, one thing, I guess I'll throw it back to you, or if you need some time to think about it, let me know. I just wanted to know if you had a favorite story about growing up as a kid, in Key West. Can you think of something right off the bat?
Well, what can I say? I'll throw one that it happened early in the 40s. There, you know, the graveyards in Key West. There's a couple of good stories about that. But you know, years ago, people didn't have dryers there, and a lot of people washed their clothes in these big old tubs and scrub boards, and they used to hang them out on the line. And there's some been tales, you know. Also, Key West used to have cattle. In fact, right off in the, what we call Rest Beach, that's where they had all the slaughter pens and all, but a lot of times these cows would get loose, and they'd run through people's yard and hang up in some of the clothes that was hanging on the lines there, and get tangled up in the graveyard. And what can I say, a lot of these sheets went to the graveyards, and it caused a lot of people kind of move out the way and give them the room, because they didn't know what was coming at them. So that's just one, and there's a whole a lot of caves in up under Key West where there's been a lot of rum runners in the rum running days there, and a lot of pirates in the area too. So that's all a part of that history, Gary. But the cows and wrapped up in them sheets and causing people to run down the street and didn't know what was coming after them. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
That's not Casper, that's a cow. That's awesome. Mistaking a cow for a ghost in the graveyard. That's been pretty cool. Thanks, George. If you think you have carte blanche, sir, to come up with any childhood stories of Key West, we'd love to hear them as we continue our Viva Florida celebration and go Gators. But right now we'll head up a little bit closer to my neck of the woods, to New Jersey, and THO, come on aboard, Tom.
Good evening, and good evening to everyone on the net. I can't say I'm having company. I've spent a lot of time in Florida, from Key West all the way to North or West Coast, East Coast. My in-laws live down there. And the most time I ever spent was 2 months in January of 2000 when my mother-in-law was passing away. We took care of her. And my wife doesn't like Florida. So I'll never live there. She's afraid of the snakes, the alligators, and other wild animals. When my mother-in-law lived in Miami, they had the severe flooding. And when it subsided, there were snakes all over the streets and all that stuff. So that ended that. And I'll tell you a funny story. We had a snake on our deck, a black snake, which wouldn't hurt you. She thought it was an extension cord I left there. She went to pick it up. And the snake reared his head and his tongue great. How they do that? Oh, man, she almost had a heart attack. What are we going to do? I went out there with a broom. Before I touched the snake with a broom, he was gone. That's all I have, folks. I hope you have a good night. I can't stay. Like I said, I'm having company shortly. So I'm going to say, buenas noches to all you Florida people out there. Back to you, Gary. Go ahead.
Oh my God, you're going to plug in the snake. Man, that sounds like something that would happen to me. It really does. But what a surprise, right? Hey, thank you, Tom. Wish you could stay longer, but certainly enjoy your company. It's great to have you along with us tonight, even for the one check-in. It's just great to have you there. So it's a great story. It really is. You know, we're talking about Viva Florida. And the celebration of Florida's now 501st birthday, Viva Florida, of course, started out as the 500th birthday for Florida. There are a lot of really great events going on. It is surprising. Now, if you want to look these up, all right, if you want to find out what's happening in conjunction with Viva Florida, you go on the web, of course, and go to Viva Florida. That's all one word, vivaflorida.org, and you can find out just about anything you'd ever want to find out about Viva Florida. Some of the events that are going on and some of the celebrations, you can do a search by specific dates. Just interesting stuff. You know, you talk about the history of this state. I mean, what other state has, you know, everything running from Spanish explorers to pirates to drug smugglers to, Steph just said there are Amish folks in Florida, too. That covers just about everything under the book, I think. So it's all in Florida, and it's a wonderful heritage in that state. Now, as I said, vivaflorida.org is the website that you want to go to, and just looking at some of the things that that are on that website, and again, if you're a Floridian, you should avail yourself of what's going on here, because there is just a lot of really good stuff that you can do to get yourself familiar with the history of your state. Let me buy a nickel. One thing that came to mind when I did the search on that Viva Florida site was a topic called Charting the Land of Flowers, 500 Years of Florida Maps. It is very interesting. Now, this is going on in Tampa Bay, at the Tampa Bay History Center. It will be going on until the 13th of this month. It's fascinating. If you go through here and you look at some of the original maps of Florida and of the southeastern part of the United States, it kind of looks like it did today, but not really. These ancient maps are very, very different, and you look at the evolution of maps and how we used to chart things. It's really quite remarkable. Florida, yeah, is a peninsula, but it's kind of deformed by looking, you know, by today's standards, and that whole southeastern part of the United States is very compressed. So we used to do things a lot differently. Of course, we didn't have the technology that we have today. But it's really quite remarkable to see that. And you'll see the change in the way Florida was mapped over the course of 500 years. Very, very interesting. You know, one thing I love about Florida is food. It's just great food in Florida. It really is. There is an exhibit going on right now. This again is at the Tampa Bay History Center. First Food, it's called. First Food Florida and the Birth of American Cuisine. It kind of goes to the way back to 1566 when Admiral Don Pedro Menendez said, "This land awaits good and honorable men, raised up with gazpacho, garlic, and onion," which sounds like a law firm, but it also sounds delicious too. He hit it right on the nail right on the head. Florida is a great place for food. Wonderful restaurants in Florida. Wonderful recipes out of Florida. I think again, George could tell us some amazing recipes from the Keys. If you like seafood, I think that's probably the place to get it. You know, that's for sure. Maybe he'll be able to pop in here with a recipe or two, also. And let's see what else we've got here. There's literally, I went on this site and I did a search and I ended up with 500 hits on this. So there's plenty to do for celebration for Viva Florida. The Florida Folk Festival is going on in White Springs at the Visual and Performing Arts Center there. That will be happening May 23rd through the May 25th. It began in 1953. Let me buy a nickel. It began in 1953, going on 62 years now. It's held annually on Memorial Day weekend on the banks of the Suwannee River at Stephen Foster Cultural State Park in White Springs. It's ranked among the top 20 festivals in the United States. Definitely worth seeing. Looks like a great time. And again, all this available on vivaflorida.org. We're talking about Viva Florida tonight. We're celebrating Florida. Are you a Floridian? Would you like to be a Floridian? Can you spell Florida? We'd like to hear from you. So come on in. Check in and let's hear from you right now as we continue the Global Family Hour on South Car. So I'm KC2RMO, and come on aboard.
Elena, Charlie, Bravo, one more, Garrett, and halftime ought to be over, and I'll get out of here and stop fluttering my lips.
There's George one more time, and anybody else want to come aboard right now? Nope, but George, we'd love to hear from you, so let's pick it up with you.
Okay, Gary, while you're Googling, maybe you could try Googling Captain Tony Tarantino, which is, great, he's from Georgia, and what can I say, he had Captain Tony Saloon, but before that, he had Captain Tony's Greyhound, the Greyhound 3 there. What we call the head boat would take, up to 64 people at a time there. And as a teenager, I worked both them boats there and quite a few others, through my teens and up into my mid-20s. But I'll tell you about a monkey that Captain Tony had, took him out on the boat. And also took him to the bar at night. But this was an unusual monkey. We always required by Coast Guard to have a radio aboard there. And we off the antenna. It looked something like a old big stick antenna, to catch a jewfish, or they call it a giant, sea bass, or I think they even come up with another name for it. Back then the average one would weigh anywhere from 300 to 500 pounds, and it seemed like every time this monkey, he would jump on that antenna and go right to the top of it and hang on, and next thing you know, he had to poop. And that was a sign to stop the boat and throw the anchor. And I tell you what, every time he did, we'd wind up at least a one jewfish, sometimes three or four. I've got some pictures there where we've had, 10, 15 at a time there. But I thought I'd throw that one in there, and never figured it out yet. But nevertheless, he was worth his weight in gold. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
I guess you could say better to use the antenna than the poop deck. who needs sonar? I mean, when you've got a monkey. Thanks, George. Great story. I love that story. That is great. We're talking about the celebration of Florida. It is Florida's 501st birthday. It is a celebration that's going on throughout the year in many different ways. There's a little something for everyone going on with the with the Viva Florida celebration. And really, again, if you go to that vivaflorida.org website and do a little web searching on there, if you just click the categories, I think you're going to find just about everything that you'd want to know about the celebration for the state. There's a lot of really wonderful history that you can get yourself involved in. You know, one thing, maybe think about that, George, when we were talking about the conchs, was a thing called the Conch Republic. And folks may not be familiar with the Conch Republic if you live outside or out of Florida. Let me just buy a nickel here for a minute. I remember this vaguely, from when it actually did happen. But there actually is a thing called the Conch Republic. The Conch Republic is a micronation that was declared as a tongue-in-cheek secession of the city of Key West, Florida, from the United States on April 23, 1982. It has been maintained as a tourism booster for the city ever since. Since then, the term Conch Republic has been expanded to refer to all of the Florida Keys, or that geographic apportionment of land that falls within the legally defined boundaries of Monroe County, Florida. So it's basically a bunch of folks that really just want to do their own thing, and they came upon the idea in 1982 to make that official. And I think the secession lasted 2 days. I think it was 2 days as an independent nation, but they have defined it ever since as more of a state of mind, I think, than a boundary. Pretty cool stuff. And again, you can Google that, and you'll see a pretty good sized article on that. Great picture of the airport as you at the Key West International Airport. The sign says, "Welcome to the Conch Republic." So you know you're in the Keys when you land in Key West. We're discussing Viva Florida tonight and the history of the state, the 501st birthday of Florida, and just about anything else you want to throw in there. And if you want to talk about Captain Tony's monkey, that's cool with me, too. But we'll continue. Let's take some more check-ins if we can. As we continue on the Global Family Hour, I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars, looking for check-ins right now.
Victor X-Ray Papa.
Okay, we got VXP. Anybody else want to join in?
Quebec X-Ray.
Okay, got a couple that time around, and we'll pick it up with VXP with Rick out in Ohio. Hello there, sir.
This is N1TXP. Good evening, all. I can think back of my traveling times. I spent, it was roughly about 2 weeks back in the early 60s over in the Clearwater, Florida area visiting relatives. And one of the things I vaguely remember that we did quite often was, since my grandparents didn't really want to do a lot of cooking, they said, well, let's go out to restaurants. And we'll hit the buffet restaurants. And it seemed like we could hit almost every other day, hitting one different one. And kind of enjoyed a lot of the food, different the restaurants that had the different culture type food. And I went back, this was back in, I would say, the early 60s, 61, 62. I went back about 5 or 6 years later, and the number had seemed to have dropped. Not a lot, but there was not as many restaurants. And I thought, well, that's the progress of the way Florida is going. And my grandparents said, well, actually, they're going more for specialized restaurants and getting away from the buffets. And then I went back again in the, I would say, late 70s, early 80s. Let me drop for a second. And, you know, I went back in the early 70s, late 70s, early 80s, and I could hardly find any of the restaurants I remembered. I did spend some time over in the Miami area at a really nice hotel I stayed at. It's actually more of a resort than a hotel, but price-wise was reasonable. I said, I can live with this. Ended up spending a month in Miami, and I just for laughs, every so often I would Google the maps, trying to find those locations. And you know, today, that one area on the Miami, actually it was North Miami Beach, is now just nothing but condos. Very few hotels, basically all high-rise condos, and I'm thinking, wow, they really progressed into housing, but got rid of a lot of the great food culture that used to be quite noticeable there. Just thought I'd bring that attention. I enjoyed all my time there, and I always think back, maybe someday I want to come back down for a visit. M1TXP back to Net Control.
Hey, thank you, Rick. I'll tell you one thing. I have never gotten a bad meal in Florida. And that's fact. I can specifically say in the cities of West Palm Beach and in the cities of Vero Beach, I have never gotten a bad meal. It's all been good. And and I'm not going to, tonight when I said I was going to do this net, I said to myself, I am not going to put in a plug for the Okeechobee Steakhouse in West Palm Beach. I'm not going to do that. So I didn't do that. But, if you hear me putting in a plug for the Okeechobee Steakhouse in West Palm Beach, let me know, because I'll not do that. But thanks for checking. And George has a great comment here. Remember, key lime is not green, it's yellow. I don't know about the color, but I know it's delicious. But I pass that along, too. We have another check-in, and we have along with us Quebec X-Ray. Hello there, ma'am. It is good to hear from you tonight.
Oh, hello to you, too, and everybody else on the net. And George is right. Key lime pie is not green. If you got one that's green, they put food coloring in it. And I think a lot of places do that just so they know the difference between the lime and the lemon, as if they can't tell any other way. But anyway, I have enjoyed my visits and vacations in Florida. And I think one of my favorite trips was actually the last one I went down there. We went down Christmas in the Orlando area, spent Christmas there, and stayed there for a few days, and then went over to the Daytona area and celebrated New Year's down on the beach, and came back just in time for my son to go back to school. We had a ball. No money, but we had a ball. It was a very rigidly budgeted trip, but it was well worth it. Anyway, just wanted to say hi to everybody, and y'all take care. This is Katie for QX. Back to Net Control.
Hey, thank you, Rebecca. It sounds like one of our vacations. Rigidly budgeted, you know? But, it's funny. That kind of reminded me of the last time we went. We had gone down and had visited Gordon and Kathy, actually. And on our way back, we had we had to stop in Atlanta, and I was talking to Stephanie about this earlier today, as a matter of fact, that we had probably the worst flight coming home that I've ever had. We were flying through severe thunderstorms all the way home. We had two babies that never stopped crying for a minute the entire flight. I mean, they couldn't help it. You know, the plane's going up and down, and the lightning. You know, but they kind of helped make it just all that much better. Yeah, those memories stick with you, you know. But great to hear from you tonight. And you know, one of the things I was looking as I did the research here for Viva Florida was one of the things I came across was that they made last year at the end of the year a time capsule at the end of 2013. The Florida Department of State collected items from the state's leaders and all 67 counties to put in a time capsule, which will contain items reflecting the theme Life in Florida. At the time, it was 2013. Now, the time capsule was sealed on December 21, 2013, and not to be opened again until March 3, 2095, which would be the 250-year anniversary of Florida as a state. Now, we've been talking about the 501st birthday of Florida. That's the discovery, of course, of Florida. But it became officially a state 250 years ago. Now, there's a lot of interesting things in here. There's a flag of the state of Florida. There are some conch shells. There are some kind of interesting pieces of pottery and a lot of small personal type items. So that's going to be now. I had the location of that. Let me back this up just a little bit. I believe, it's going to be at the R.A. Gray Building. If the R.A. Gray Building is still standing. In the year 2095, they're going to find that time capsule and see what the heck, what things were like in 2013. It's really kind of interesting. I love time capsules. They really are pretty neat. Some of the things that are I just got a complete list here too, and it goes on quite a bit. I mean, there's just a ton of stuff, but. One, I'm just looking for anything that's kind of standing out. A lot of digital photographs. There's a sand sculpture. There is a 2013 city calendar from Broward County. In Calhoun County, they had some information on the seminar. And here we go. So a lot of just interesting items. It looked like I timed out there, so hopefully we're back on the air and doing okay. But a lot of interesting items there in that time capsule. Again, in 2095, if that building's still there, they're gonna see that it was a fairly interesting year in 2013. That's for sure. We're talking about the celebration of Viva Florida tonight. Would like to hear from some Floridians. We've heard a lot tonight from non-Floridians, but I'd like to hear from some folks that call Florida home. And are you involved at all in any of the celebrations for Viva Florida? Let's see if we can get some response on that one. So come on aboard. We're taking some more check-ins as we continue the Global Family Hour. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
Fox Delta Golf Mike.
And 6 Victor Recheck.
All right, couple that time around, and we'll go with Delta Golf Mike. Hello there. Come on aboard.
Yeah, okay. Good morning, all. This is Victor Kilo 4, Fox Delta Golf Mike. Your name is Daryl, Delta Alpha Romeo Yankee Lima. I was just going to comment on with the Florida. Let's see there. The Gold Coast has got a bit of a festival starting up here today for 2 weeks there as well. We've just begun our school holidays here again here in southeast Queensland. So they're starting to get into it a bit. Anyway, I thought I'd just jump in and say good evening to all. And good to hear everyone coming up. Back to net control. This is Victor Kilo 4, Fox Delta Golf Mike, Daryl in Brisbane.
Well, Daryl, it's great to have you along, and we'll say Viva Australia, too. It's great to hear from you tonight. Thanks for checking in. We will move along to KY6V. Hello there once again, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much, Gary, and good evening to you, or good morning to you, Daryl, down there in Brisbane. Nice to hear you. KY6V here, Central Florida. I was sitting back wondering what the rationale was on this time capsule. I don't know if you can answer this or not. Gary, if you run the math on that, they're going to open it up on 2095. They closed it on 2013. That's 82 years. I wonder why maybe they picked 82 as opposed to an even 100 or an even 80 or... But then again, if this was orchestrated by those who run Tallahassee, I can understand that they didn't know what they were doing to start with. I didn't say that. Hey, I learned something tonight, Gary, and that is about the monkey and George's story about the antenna. For all of these years, I thought it was Columbus that did that. Do you remember the old saying in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue? He climbed the mast and blah, 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 blah. And I guess that's where the monkey came in. KY6V, back to net.
Obviously, that monkey had heard it. He's a smart monkey. He knew the whole deal. That is such a great story. I love that story. The time capsule. I think it has a picture of the monkey in it. But the time capsule. The way I read that, it is to be opened because that will be the 250th anniversary of Florida as a state. All right, not that, you know, we go back 501 years for Ponce. But we have to consider Florida as 250 years as a state, and that's why they chose that. So that is allegedly the reason for that. But there's some interesting stuff in there. I mean, just little odds and ends, and you know, kind of weird stuff. I mean, not weird, but you know, sand. I mean, you know, it's like is in there. But they also have a sand sculpture in there, so that's kind of neat. But little slices of Floridian life in 2013. But I don't know if that building's still going to be there. I'm obviously not very familiar with that building, but I mean, who's to say that that's still going to be there? Maybe if they sift through the rubble, they'll find this thing. I don't know, but you know, we shall see what we shall see. So thank you again, sir, for checking in. And what do you say, we're kind of getting down to things right now. What do you say we open it up for general comments and or one last round of check-ins? So let's do that right now. Comments in general, or we'll just call it good night. So we'll take that... possibly final round of check-ins right now. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
Lima, Charlie Bravo, one more time.
And 6 Victor will join the party.
The second time.
And I was doubling with OVI. 6 Victor again.
Zulu India, Victor.
Hey, we got a bunch that time around. So let's pick it up with George and LCB. Hello there again.
Well, thank you, Gary. Let me, you know, a lot of the conks and people that lived up the Keys, let me say a lot of the homes was built with material, wood that come from all over the world, which, you know, through rough seas and storms and all, got dumped over the side, you know, and a lot of it floated. And I don't know if when you Googled that, if you noticed there's a home there called the Bahama House, you know, and some most of all the old home, old conch houses was obtained by going out to the beaches and picking up a different wood. And speaking about driftwood, in the 60s, there was quite a few burlap bags wrapped in plastic, weighed about 50 pounds apiece. They used to come floating in along the beaches. And we'll let that one go go by the way, and you figure it out yourself there. But let me pause for you. I'm going to tell you another one about a monkey, which I've already mentioned once before, but I'll tell you about this one. A friend of mine, you know, that I went with school to school with, he had a monkey, and he had the monkey on the chain, you know. And years ago, electricity came, you know, was run through the house off the pole, and the lines was wrapped in, or was it asbestos type banding there, and some of that over the years had wore off. And that monkey one time decided he's going to climb up the side of that house, and when he swung through that wire there, you know, and that chain hit the ground, well, that monkey found out it's a time to drop. Well, needless to say, when he dropped, he just laid there for a minute or two there. We thought he done got electrocuted and was dead. All of a sudden, you know, he started to gain his composure. And, you know, Key West being tropical and all, the whole, everybody, you know, in Key West had their different plants and all, aloe plants for one, and different other plants were used for medical purposes there. But that monkey, like I said, when he grabbed his composure, you know, he stood there looking at his hands, and they was all burned up. And that monkey, you know, walked over to an aloe plant there and broke a piece of it off, and he started rubbing his little hands with that aloes, you know, for them burns there. And I'm an observer of different things there, you know, and it taught me right then and there what aloes can do for you. So I thought I'd just add that one in there. But I guess you never know about a monkey business. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo. Appreciate it, my friend.
Hey, thank you, George. What a smart little monkey to know to do that. That's really something. Poor little thing. I mean, I hate to hear him get hurt, but smart little smart guy to put that aloe on. That's pretty cool. Thanks again. It's great to hear those stories. It is always a pleasure. We move things along, and we move along to Pete, OVI. Hello there, sir.
Good evening. Rook, 84 hours, Quebec, India. Yeah, I would like to have known what was going on in all these hours that you all had a night going on, but I guess the latest ever, I at least I found one subject here. I was interested in the monkeys here. They're pretty smart. I believe somewhere in the world, monkeys are roaming around the streets where people live, and they're quite revered, and they have the lay of the land, they can do whatever they want. But did he catch, I think rowdy one time, and I guess they must have done something about it. But I think monkeys are, in some part of the world, like I say, they know the streets, and they know where food is, and I guess they get a lot of free food from the people out there that have it outside. I guess what they have to do is lock up their food so the monkeys don't get to it. But anyway, that was a good story about the monkey getting burned and him knowing exactly what to do. He didn't have to call first aid or nothing. He knew what to do. But anyway, since I'm late on the net, Gary, can you give me a little recap and let me have one more go at it? Katie, for us, here we can do.
I'd be glad to, Pete. Basically, we've been talking about something called Viva Florida, and you, as a Floridian, may be familiar with that. It is the now 501st birthday of Florida. Statewide celebration, a lot of great stuff going on in conjunction with that celebration. And we talked about a couple of things, a couple of the events that are going on, and we talked about that time capsule that was put together at the end of last year, and a few other little tidbits. We have some wonderful stories from George with the conch take on things, and that pretty well will get you up to speed. So how say you, sir?
Yeah, that Key West down there, that could have been the 51st state if they would have done it the right way. The 51st state. I think they were contemplating making that the 51st state, which would have been nice. They would have had the youngest state in neighboring the Florida state. Anyway, enough of that. Thank you very much, Gary, for being there. And I like this net. It's just really a nice go-around. So thank you very much again for being there. From Katie Frost, Virginia, wishing you the best of goodbyes and toodaloo.
Hey, thank you, Pete. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, we were either going to have a net or a barn dance. But the band didn't show up, so, you know, we figured we'd do this. But, yeah, I love the Conch Republic. I think that's great. I would have to look that up. But I believe they seceded from the United States for a grand total of 2 days back in 82. And, like I say, it's more of a state of mind than a physical boundary. But it's a pretty cool state of mind. I do like that. So good to hear from you, and great to have you along. And we move along to Six Victor. Once again there, sir. Hello.
Well, hello again, Gary. Thanks for running the show. Good evening to you, Pete. Listening to all of this, Gary, Gordon, KY6V here, I want you to not forget the raccoons. They're pretty smart, too. They come out and make one heck of a mess in our garbage cans. If the garbage cans are set out on Sunday night and the garbage is picked up Monday morning. And they were so good at it, and they wore these masks too, you know, so they couldn't be identified. Yeah. We got to the point where we only take our garbage out in the morning instead of leaving it out all night so they can play with it. So they're pretty smart. I wanted to take you back to the time capsule for a second. Let me buy a nickel. I was reading in the news. I didn't read the whole article. I just sort of breezed it. Just the other day that they were demolishing a house someplace. And during the the tearing down of the house, that they found that one of the rooms had a hidden wall. And within this hidden room wall walled room, I guess is the way to put it, was artifacts set up as a time capsule. Now, where this was, I didn't really take time to find out, or what actually was in there, I didn't. But it's alive and kicking in a lot of areas, I guess. I wanted to leave you with one thought. I don't believe you've touched on the Fountain of Youth down here very deeply. Another nickel. You know, Ponce de Leon's Fountain of Youth has quite a bit of history here in the state of Florida, and there are two parts of the state, or two cities within the state, that claim that's where the fountain is really located. One is in St. Augustine, and the other is in De Leon Springs, which is just north of DeLand proper. And when Hurricane Andrew did a number for all of us down in South Miami, we started traveling the state to see where we wanted to be relocated, and we ended up in DeLand and just absolutely fell in love with it. Bought 5 acres up there and built a house and so on and so forth. And the De Leon Springs Fountain of Youth wasn't too far away. Went over there one day and bathing suit and all, jumped in the water and said, "Well, I'm here and I'm going to stay here." And a month or two later, I was talking with some of the neighbors, Gary, and I said, "You know, I don't feel a bit different. It doesn't seem to be working at all." And these neighbors were old-timers that had been living up there for years and years and years, and they said, "Well, Gordon, you did it wrong. You're not supposed to swim in it. You're not supposed to drink it. What you're supposed to do is just get wet, at least up to your waistline, and have a glass in your hand with at least a double dose of scotch. Drink the scotch and you'll feel better." KY6V, back to net.
Hey, it's that'll work. You know, it's like chicken soup. It can't hurt. So I like that. Yeah, and did you know, speaking of the Fountain of Youth, one day, Ponce de Leon went to take a drink from the Fountain of Youth, but mistakenly took a drink from the adjacent and little-known Fountain of Reduction, and for a while he was only 3 feet tall. A native commented to one of the members of the De Leon party, "It looks like your Ponce shrunk." And with that, we go on to ZIV for a second. Come on aboard there, Daryl.
Yeah. Good night, Jelly Bean. I've been in Florida many times, and I have relatives that live in Fort Pierce, cousin. Matter of fact, one time, I remember when we were young, my stepdad and I went down and visited took my grandmother, his mother, went to Florida, visited our uncle in Fort Pierce. And my step uncle and my step cousin had to sleep on my step cousin and I had to sleep on the floor and let the grown ups have the beds and play footsies, and it was about a block away from the beach. And when I went down, put the footprint in the sand, and the way we come and wash it away. Miss Florida, good looking blonde, and now do I know Pete, so I remember that. I remember the waves rolling too, the rolls of the waves, and last time I was there, with my thick legs, there was no rolls, it was just flat, and so on depth perception, I timed out, and then not on depth perception, but that's another story. I got over my eyesight. Yeah, cope with that. Anyway. Florida's great. In Nigeria.
Well, I agree with you. Florida is great, and that's why so many people come there, and so many people enjoy it, and so many people come back. It's a great state. It has an awful lot to offer. You know, Gordon was talking about the thanks, Daryl, by the way. Gordon was talking about the Fountain of Youth, and of course we all know the story of the Fountain of Youth, or the legend of the Fountain of Youth, where you are supposed to be able to drink from the water, it is supposed to make you young again, and that has been going on. That legend has existed for about 500 years. As Gordon pointed out, there are two sites for that Fountain of Youth. I'm reading an article from the National Geographic with the fact that there is a couple of problems labeling St. Augustine's Natural Spring as Ponce de Leon's Fountain of Youth. Elderly visitors who drink the spring's sulfur-smelling water don't turn into teenagers, and Ponce de Leon probably wasn't looking for such a fountain. Did you know that? The legend says he was seeking it, but this contradicts that. He may not have set foot near the present-day St. Augustine. He may not have ever been there in the first place. So, again, we have credence lent to the De Leon Springs. Let me just buy a nickel here for a minute. So many historians think he came ashore about 140 miles south, farther south near present-day Melbourne in that area. But the tale of the search for a Fountain of Youth is so appealing that it survives anyway. People are more intrigued by the story of looking and not finding than they are the idea the fountain might be out there somewhere. No original documents survive from Ponce de Leon's Florida expedition. Spanish historians, writing long after he died in 1521, may have created the story that he was seeking the fountain to make fun of him because he was an old man and wanted to restore his sexual vigor. I'm reading what's written here. Still, a few grains of truth have helped sustain the story. Kathleen Deegan, a professor of archaeology at the University of Florida in Gainesville and a National Geographic Society grantee, says the cemetery and the remains of a Spanish mission dating back to St. Augustine's founding in 1565 have been discovered near the so-called Fountain of Youth, or if you're in New Jersey, the Fountain of Ute. So, having said that, let's see if we have any more people desiring to check in at this moment. Let's take another round if we can. If folks are still checking in, let's do it one more time, shall we? As we continue on the Global Family Hour, I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
Recheck.
We have OVI, and anybody else? Nope, nothing heard that time around, so Pete, it's all yours. Go right ahead.
Let me advise Gordon that we also have a spring west of Orange City here, but you can swim in there all year round. 72 degrees a year round. Even in the winter time, it's a pleasant 72 degrees. So if you want to warm up, and you're down here in Central Florida, and you're in the winter time, go take a dip in there for 72 degrees. And it'll invigorate you. When you come out of there at around 30 degrees, you're going to find yourself running for the berries. But anyway, that's what I wanted to contribute. Some people that come down to Central Florida, welcome to Blue Springs. It's a park that's west of Orange City. It's a beautiful park. And there are some real old history there, too, ancient history, embedded in that park down there. So if you want to be a history buff, go digging, because you're going to dig yourself a good part of history. Katie Frost, you're Rick India. Back to that control. Over.
Well, thank you, sir. I'll tell you, up here, if the water is above 32 degrees, it's considered warm. You know, so that's invigorating, you know. So that's a big step higher than what we've got going here, that's for sure. Interesting, though, that bit about the two possible sites for the Fountain of Youth. It does seem that Gordon has hit the nail on the head and may be privy to the true Fountain of Youth location. We have to see how that all bears out. If history has any meaning there. We have a late score here. Unfortunately, the Gators didn't do too well. But according to Rick, it was UConn 63, one of SU's great nemesis, UConn. UConn 63 and Florida 53. But a nice run by the Gators. They certainly took it a lot farther than the Orangemen. I will never let them off the hook for that one. Not for that one. No, you know, it's like, although Boeheim did give one of the greatest performances of his life in that game, he got thrown out of. But where were we? Okay, yeah, oh yeah. Got into basketball. I didn't want to do that. So the one thing I didn't touch upon tonight is what I find one of the more fascinating areas of the state, and it is the Treasure Coast. And as we had talked about the Fountain of Youth and some of the other areas of the state, the Treasure Coast is basically a great place to go sniffing around for pirate treasure. There is a lot of it there, and a lot of shipwrecks and a lot of old pirate legends in that area. This is the area that's in the eastern central part of the state, and takes up about a fifth of that of the state's total area, fifth or sixth of the state's total coastal area on that side of things. And really, if you're into the adventure of the whole thing, it is a great place to go sniff it around and grab your metal detector. Let me buy a nickel and see what you can find. I would love to do that sometime. Maybe sometime on a visit to Florida, we'll go down there and start snooping around and see if we can find a doubloon or two. So next year, okay? So we'll see what we can do. Maybe rent a metal detector or something. So what do you say? I'm going to throw that out one more round of check-ins, and have you ever done any treasure hunting on the Treasure Coast, or are you familiar with any sites there that are kind of interesting from a pirate and or historical sense? So we'll throw that out to one more round of check-ins as we continue on the Global Family Hour.
Oh, my Charlie Bravo.
Well, we have George, we'll pick him up right now. Sorry about the Gators, George.
Oh, well, they did a good job all the way up there. Looking forward to see Kentucky, 8 seed, and take it. That'd be nice. But I have a friend, a few friends, that has quite a collection of artifacts and things he can't talk about. I know quite a few people also that has quite a few trinkets and that has been fishing and a lot of this stuff doesn't have to be in deep water. A lot of these ships run aground, and there's been stuff found in 6-7 feet of water. And as you got to, remember, as the tides move, things get uncovered. And I'll pass on a few writings to you that I us conks keep together, and we have a group, about 500 of us, that we call displaced conks that live throughout Florida there, and a lot of them is gaining up in age there, and is dealing with health issues at the time there, and I think I might have passed a letter or two on to maybe you or Gordon, a friend of mine named David there, and like I said, there's still a whole lot of stuff out there, but the thing is, if you find it, you best keep it to yourself, because the government's going to take most of it, you know, and next thing you know, you got another country wanting it because they say it was theirs, you know, keep it under your hat and put it in your pocket. If you got to melt it down, melt it down. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Well, thank you, George. I'll tell you, the I don't have the dollar figure, and I wish I did. But where the whole discovery or the whole definition of this treasure coast came from, the way I understand it, was the discovery of treasure from the 1715 treasure fleet, which was lost in a hurricane near Sebastian Inlet. That was of major local importance. It brought international attention to the area. There was no other name at the time for the area. They called it originally, I guess, the Gold Coast, and then it became known as the Treasure Coast. But I heard that treasure is worth, in today's money, some insane, if, you know, if somebody was to find the whole load, it's worth some insane amount of money. It's like $1 billion or more. I mean, if somebody can find this. And it's out there. I mean, that fleet went down, and there's a whole bunch of gold out there somewhere. And maybe a few people know it, and obviously they're keeping clammed up. But I just always thought that was a remarkable legend, and it's not even a legend, it's a piece of history. It's out there. I don't know, you know, the nuts and bolts of the whole thing, but I'm sure there must be plenty of people to this day looking for it. It may be a situation where, you know, I know where it is, and I'm not saying a thing, and, you know, they're taking little bits and pieces as they can, so it doesn't look too obvious. So, but that has always been a fascinating part of the state for me. Other things that you know, and again, this is my checklist for Florida, but there's other than eating well and hanging out near the water. There are places that are just, I mean, obviously Disney World, right? Everybody needs to see Disney World. Everybody but Steph needs to see Disney World. SeaWorld, there you go. My granddaughter, my wonderful granddaughter Kendall, last year, her mom and dad took her to Disney World, and that was a big deal for her. She just turned 9 this year, she's going to be turning 10 in a few months, next year. But it just goes so quick. But she just turned 9 back on Valentine's Day. And Disney World was such a big deal for her. I thought that was great. So that's one thing. Me, I want to go see Cape Canaveral. Which they changed back from Cape Kennedy back to its original name. But I want to see that. I want to, you know, I'm a big space fan. Let me buy a nickel. Yeah, Steph said she'll send me. You know, this net highlights third party traffic. You can speak right up. It's fine. I definitely want to see Cape Canaveral. I think that's great. I want to take an airboat ride. I want to go through the Everglades and zip through there and say hi to the gators, you know? No, we can't. So we have to spend more time in Florida. That's really what it is. And but those are you know just some of the things, you know. But I think everybody has their own agenda for Florida, and I think once you get down there, you know, and you just start feeling things out, you plot your own course. So that's pretty cool. But it's a wonderful state. Again, vivaflorida.org is the website that you want to do to find out what's going on with all the celebrations. And the interesting, very, very interesting events that are taking place with the celebration Viva Florida. So what do you say? Let's see if there's anybody out there for one more round. Other than that, we'll call it quits. But one more time, let's see if we can get some check-ins here on the Global Family Hour. Okay, nothing heard. It has been fun. As always, it's always a great time, and always enjoy doing this, Nick. Thank you to everybody for participating, and for those who are Floridians, enjoy your wonderful state. You've got a real gem there, and you really should enjoy it. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VoIPNet schedules and general information may be found on the VoIP.SouthCars.com website. Your net control for this session has been Gary. My calls are KC2RMO. Also want to say thank you to my backup tonight, Jim, Quebec Yankee. Great, as always, to have him along. We're both saying 73 and closing this VoIP session. Thank you for your participation. This net is closed.